Hello, folks. Just a quick little note here before we get into the episode main. This will be our final episode of the season and final episode for the foreseeable future. We're going to be taking a quick hiatus just with Andy being a new father, and I have
struggling, folks. I'm struggling big time to get these podcasts recorded. Terry's just coming up over the hill. It'll all become clear when he gets to the top. I'm currently rolling down that hill,
covered in pig shit,
and it's very difficult to record, as you probably have guessed from the amount of weeks that we couldn't do it. And I know I'm breathing on your fur here, Terry, but
no, please,
all the weeks that we couldn't do it, and even the weeks that we can, it's fucking stressful, to be honest. And maybe if you shared it a bit more, maybe we wouldn't be in this.
Okay, Andy.
Okay, I'll dial it back.
So yeah, this is going to be our last one, and then we will be, like I say, going on here. It's till the new year, probably, where we will come roaring back like Phoenix from Arizona. But we will obviously be in touch on the old socials to keep you guys posted. Every now and again, if we get the time, we might even jump on for a quick chat and release that on the feed. If you're subscribed, stay subscribed, because there is going to be stuff popping in. Yeah. We don't want to go back to square one here, people.
The plan is, we don't want to put a set month on it, but we will probably be back very early next year,
2023,
and we will actually definitely back. I know a lot of people say that they're going on hiatus, and then that's just code for we're never coming back. And
I need it, lads, to be honest.
Yeah, I can't
do without it.
It's,
I mean,
therapy.
I'll be happy to take a break from it, because I got mortgage people up my ass, and I'm still waiting on a house to give me the keys. So, you know, it's all a bunch of fun. And then I got another baby on the way. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
I got a baby that's colic. Colic. Yeah. Either way.
Poor little thing.
But actually, she's been a little bit better lately. But the plan is still in place. We can't move it now. So yeah. I know this is quite abrupt, but
I mean, we've cut two movies off the list, you know. So
yeah. And that's on me as well. I'm gonna, you know, Terry,
it's 100% on him. Folks.
Yeah. I had come to Terry initially with it, saying I need a bit of a break.
Came to me hat in hand.
I said, Terry, I need a fucking break. And then it was like, okay, well, we'll finish the Nick Cage stuff. And then I messaged him there last week.
You should have heard him, folks.
And I was like, I'm not even gonna make it to the end of this. Just we gotta go now.
You gotta help me, Terry, please.
But what we do have is a very enjoyable podcast.
Absolute blast.
Such a blast
podcast. Yeah.
It was a great way
giddy.
Yeah, it was a great way to go out with Erin McGathy. She was lovely. She was very funny, and it was a blast to talk about. And even if you haven't seen Pig, we talk about it very little, so you'll still probably enjoy it with just hearing us ramble and all sorts of good stuff.
With that said, folks, enjoy the show. It'll be your last one for a while.
What's so great about? 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 What's so great about?
Hello, and welcome. What's so great about the podcast that asks great questions and gets great answers? My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
You're taking a sip during the intro, Andy.
And I even cracked it and everything. You didn't even deter you. You just kept going.
I didn't hear it. Okay. Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Now, Andy.
Yes.
We've got another guest with us this week.
Ooh.
Our guest is an actor, a screenwriter, a podcaster, and sketch comedian It's Erin McGathy.
Hello.
Welcome.
Appreciate Andy did like a silent applause. Silent applause.
Oh like my jazz God.
Hands.
Just hands up. Yeah. Perfect for an audio medium.
Yeah, your listeners are going to be like, oh, I'm really pissed that they have her on. Well, silence.
Dead silence. We can put something in there.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Erin, yes. You're very welcome. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to talk about the film. Sorry, yeah, I thought something more clever was going to come out of my mouth there, and it's just literally what we're going to be doing.
Yeah, we're talking What's So Great About Nicolas Cage. So we've done, 9 or 10 now at this stage?
Seven.
No, it's more than seven.
This is the eighth.
This is more than eight. Anyway, very organized. But Erin, before we jump into the movie, I've been asking all of our guests this year a question that has flummoxed everyone. It's a very straightforward question. Don't get, let's say, too scared. But we're back in the swing of things, with the arts and all being open. And I'm wondering, what has been your favorite movie-going experience this year?
Oh my God, I'm so flummoxed. What a scary question. I'm freaking out. It's too much. Personal.
We're getting a lot of dead air when I ask people. They're like, I didn't expect you to ask.
I know exactly what it is. There's a theater or cinema here in Dublin, where I live, called the Stella Cinema, which is in Mines.
Yeah. Fancy.
Very fancy. I only go to the Stella, which is not true. But it's this really
go broke pretty quickly.
Yeah. It's this really beautiful old, I think it's an old movie house. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But they do this thing on Fridays where you get free Prosecco and they show kind of old films, they're all kind of dated films, but sometimes they're from the 90s and sometimes they're from the 20s. And my boyfriend and I got real high and went to go see The Shining, which was amazing.
Class.
It was like, it was so cool
what
to
an
see
experience.
It. Yeah, see it on the big screen. And at one point I got up to go to the bathroom.
Especially while high though.
Yeah. And like we both the way the theater is set up, you are sitting in your own chair. So you know how normally when you go to the cinema and you have to share a seat and everyone's having to share a seat. You have your own
it's like a couch or
they have couches there, though I find that kind of gross for some reason. I don't know. I don't know how dirty this podcast is, but in my imagination they're covered in cotton.
Very.
But anyway, okay.
We're not family.
All right.
We're not family oriented.
Yeah, so kids, there's a lot of
if anything,
on the couch.
I'm trying to get Andy to be more about it.
Okay. But what I mean by your own chair is that you can't see anyone in your periphery. So it feels like you're watching the movie on your own, which makes it a curious spot for a date. But my boyfriend and I were
dream. That's a dream, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Do anything.
Space.
Just sit and look at it.
Yeah, you don't have to worry. It is good because you don't have to feel self-conscious about your reactions to the films. When we went to go see, Mission Impossible with planes. Yeah, Top Gun. We went to go see Top Gun, and I was sobbing at one point, which I think
I was close. I was on the verge of
emotional
tears.
Thing. But you know how if you're in a movie and you get really moved and then you start crying maybe this is just me, but
no,
you start crying and then you feel self-conscious because you're like, I don't want people to worry about me.
I had that when I went to see Everything Everywhere All at Once. I was like holding back, and then I was like, just let them,
just let them come.
Then there was a girl who was sitting up the aisle. I was in the lighthouse and she was sitting up the aisle and she looked over me and she was crying as well. And then it was kind of like
congratulations.
And we've been together ever since.
What a meet here.
My wife is sitting right beside me. I don't think she appreciated it. We're mostly married now. We're mostly married.
What are you doing?
Stop crying. But the funny,
the funny thing is like, because like we're very different movie watchers, like me and Terry, in that like Terry's like a proper film buff, and I'm like, I was saying in the last podcast, like I'll almost like, you really have to drag me kicking and screaming through a movie. And so like it's a very different, like Terry be like, oh, I was welling up at that a few points in this movie, and I'm always like, which bit? Like, I can't even fathom. Like, I can't even fathom.
What kind of stuff does make you cry, Andy? And can we make it happen?
I don't know. You know what? Like, kids goodbyes. You know, like at the end of T2, where he's going down the thing into the lava.
That's never affected me.
Anything where a kid is saying, where a kid doesn't understand why the person, Drop Dead Fred or something, like why the kid doesn't understand why you can't come back. That sort of stuff makes me cry.
I got it. Yeah, weirdly for me, it's father-son stuff. I don't have a fine relationship with my father. My brother has a fine relationship with him, but father-son stuff gets me. Not even mother-daughter stuff. And my mom died when I was young, but like father-son stuff.
Yeah.
Wes Anderson was the previous mini. What's so great about Wes Anderson? And Andy had never seen any of his movies.
Oh,
and
really?
We went through them all. But the bit that, like, to this day, it hit me. First time I saw the movie, and when it did the rewatch, like I, like real fat, horrible tears when I was sitting on my couch watching it, was Ben Stiller to Gene Hackman at the end of The Royal Tenenbaums, where he's like, I've had a rough year. I'm sorry.
That's so funny.
Belling up right now.
Terry, I literally was thinking about that scene today. I literally was thinking, because I saw this horrible movie this morning. I just kind of had it partially on in the background that was so derivative of Wes Anderson, and I was like, he could have never.
Can you name and shame?
Name and shame. Is that a segment on the show?
No, just I want to know the dirty details.
It is a film called The Longest Week or The Long Week. It is with listen to this cast and then you'll be like, whoa, this must be bad. I've never heard of it. It came out in 2012. It is starring Jason Bateman, Olivia Wilde, Billy Crudup, and Jenny Slate.
Wow. Right.
And
good actors.
Great actors. And if there was a Wes Anderson bot and a Woody Allen bot and they wrote a film, that's what it is. There's just like zero heart to it, and it's all, I don't know. It looks great. It looks
all
fine,
aesthetic.
But yeah, it's just, it's not good. It's unfortunately not good.
That kind of was around the time where Bateman was just literally, he'd be in 10 movies a year. It was that post Arrested Development, like the crest of that wave.
Yeah.
Like there's some movies you see me, you're like, what? Like, how does he have time to do all these movies? I know he's better than them as well. Like,
Well, like we have this, I think illegal thing that my boyfriend installed on our television where you can like look up an actor and just see all of their films.
All their films?
See them and watch. Oh, yeah, cool. You can see them. No, it's just the internet is what he has installed.
it's called Wikipedia.
It's called IMDb.
He assures me that he invented it.
Yeah, I didn't see this film. I just imagined it was horrible. You guys do that. You imagine watch films.
Of course. Yeah. That's what we did here.
Most of my nights going to sleep. Yeah.
And then you can watch any of those films if they've ever streamed, then you can find him, which is
that's mad. Cool. I'm still in awe, like even watching this movie. Terry turned me on to this website, which I feel like I shouldn't name and shame, but I've such history with like trying to stream, and it's like, oh, this server doesn't work, pop up, get rid of the pop ups, like this server doesn't, you know, just really difficult and like it not being great. And this website, Terry, I don't know how they're getting away with it, but it's like you just type in pig. First thing, play, subtitles, sure, Chromecast, and it's so easy. How are they getting away with it? Someone's getting my data or something. Like,
yeah, definitely. But
you know, I'll take it.
Does it start with a K?
Starts with an F.
Okay. Okay. Mm.
And it has number
that's
two.
Come on, that's it. they're coming for us now.
Well, they have all their data anyway. So.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
All right.
There you go. So, shall we get into talking about the movie we're here to talk about? We already mentioned that we're going to be talking about Pig.
Yeah, very excited.
2021's Pig.
Yes.
Now, Nick Cage has said that this is his favorite role that he's played. Am I wrong in that?
No, I've heard that. I've heard that.
Okay, great.
Over that Wizard Witch film he did.
Season of the Witch.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it didn't make the shortlist.
Right.
I had to pick and choose ones for Andy. There's a lot I had to leave out, to be honest.
I feel like you missed a few tricks, though, to be honest.
Well, Andy, like, you know,
you're really catering to your audience here.
I'm really catering to you.
I still can't. I can't stop thinking about like you never having watched a Wes Anderson film. Like that's.
No, I think. Well, I had seen. The Darjeeling Limited. That was the only one that I'd seen.
Right.
The worst one.
I know.
The
worst
one. And I liked it at the time.
Okay, yeah.
But
yeah.
Not so much this time around, but...
You know, it was like, so frustrating, Aaron, as well. There was like, we'd watch, say, Rushmore.
Yeah.
And Royal Tenenbaums. He was like, yeah, it's all right. Like, you know, it's okay.
Right. Yeah,
and then...
I liked like Life Aquatic and Moonrise Kingdom were probably my two favorites.
Those two jumped up really high in my estimation this time. Then you were like... Isle of Dogs. This is one of the best ones. And I was like, it's fine. It's an absolute masterpiece.
It's tough watching them all at once. And also, like, obviously, like, his films, like, build on each other. So, like, you see Rushmore when it comes out and you're like, holy shit, cool. And then you see Life Aquatic and you're like, he can do no wrong. And then, like, it gets just better and better. Like,
Yeah, exactly. But I found French Dispatch was particularly irritating. aesthetically, it looked the best probably, but
some of the filmmaking in it is amazing. I did say to you, it's his least accessible, which is kind of saying something.
That might be
second time around.
I was in LA gonna keep on
it's what
talking,
we do it's what we do here it's fine
it's what we do
yeah. I'm just excited. When I was last year, I was in at the end of last year, I was in Los Angeles for a wedding, and you know, LA has, this is really making it sound like all I do is get high. I do other things, you know, to like purchase the weed.
You're on the right podcast here.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I was really like, the dispensaries there are unreal, and obviously it's like, it's legal there. And I just was, the day after the wedding, I was like, to my friends, I was like, look, if you want to come to the movies with me, you can, but I am spending this day high. And I got super high, and I went to an Alamo Draft House. Do you know what that is?
Oh, yeah.
So probably,
it's kind of similar to a Stella, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
they do
like,
food and stuff.
Yeah,
there,
like. It's like the Stella, but it started in Austin. And I think like Quentin Tarantino is an investor in it. And that other guy who did Grindhouse, who's like...
Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Robert Rodriguez, yeah.
Yeah. And so they have like great food. It's a whole thing. It's a bit like, it's a bit corny.
It's your evening.
But it's a whole thing. And it is really cool. And it's neat. Anyway, I got in so high, I could not understand what the film was. Like, truly could not. And I had like the best time. And I was like, I love this film. It is so good. But I could have been watching like a fish tank or something.
It's like, you're at that stage, you're in your own, you're getting your own enjoyment out of the film. Not as intended. Like,
No.
I find,
so the CIA knew internal affairs were setting them up.
Like, whenever like me and Terry would go to the cinema high, like I'd always, it would be like a knock-on effect, because Terry's got a real infectious laugh. And so like there'd be a scene in the movie and everyone would laugh, and then like the laugh would die down, and then you just hear Terry like and like just still going, and then that would make me laugh again.
And
it just became this like,
and it was
surreal.
We'd
experience.
Go see the worst movies though. We'd go
like,
see like
trash.
Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, or like Big Mama's House 2,
proper
like,
dumb
don't waste
movies.
You know, on a prestige film. No, we gotta go and see if it'll actually be good.
It's gotta be stupid.
Yeah, it's gotta be stupid. Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of, no, I'm not gonna do that.
Right.
Right, should we segue into this one?
Please.
Yeah, I'm ready to roll over. Oh, sorry, you were doing the clapping.
That's okay.
Leave it all in.
I'm leaving it in. I'm leaving it in.
Let's roll around in the slot. In I thought something better.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Better. That's better.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what? Let's just talk about the movie.
No, I want to see that. I was promised a cute clapping thing. What? Okay. You know what, guys? Andy. Can we watch the trailer?
Sure. Great idea, Aaron. Yeah.
Great.
Andy, I need a bit more oomph. Let's.
Well, there's a sleeping baby right
yeah,
up
yeah,
there.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay, right up there.
Well, I mean, not on the roof. It's not like train spot.
Not train spot.
In the attic, I was like, just, you need to through those floorboards. Mind that baby.
Yeah. So there. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Great.
I'm looking for a truffle pig. Someone stole her.
I don't understand.
Tell me you are.
You made the right choice, being out there in the woods. There's nothing here for you anymore. There's really nothing here for most of us. Buy yourself a new pig.
What are you thinking?
I remember. Every meal I ever cooked. I remember every person I ever served. You live your life for them, and they don't even see you. You don't even see yourself. We don't get a lot of things to really care about. Who has my pig?
Game faces. Okay. That was the trailer for Pig. Aaron, what we do normally when we talk about a movie here is we get into a little bit of a BOF, what we like to call it, box office and fun facts about the movie. Before we get into the box office, though, we normally have a stab at the budget. Oh. Andy, do you care to go first, since budget. Aaron is our guest?
$5 million.
Okay. Aaron?
I'm going to guess 12.4.
Oh, very specific.
Andy is closer. It's actually 4 million.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah. Good for them.
Okay, great.
They
had to plant all those trees. 4 million. They had to build those homes.
On a shoestring.
They had to reanimate Nick Cage. All these things.
Now, well, hold on. I'm going to put a pin in that, Aaron. I can't have you talking about my man Nick like that. I'm going to put a pin in it, right? Opening weekend box office, Andy?
No, this isn't some stupid where it only opened in 3 theaters.
This opened in 552 theaters, so not quite.
That's worse. I can't do that math.
It's not a wide release, but it's more than, you know, the Wes Anderson model that he was going with.
1.2 million opening. Okay. Opening weekend. Okay.
Opening. Aaron?
I'm going to say 12.4 million.
Wow.
Really? Yeah, I like that.
I have no
number,
idea. I know one number. It's 12.4. Yeah.
The opening weekend is 970,000.
It's a weird question to ask in the days of streaming and things like that as well. That's a dumb thing to talk about, you guys.
That's a stupid question.
Yeah. I'm joking.
I didn't invite you on this podcast to tear me down. I got enough of that at home, all right?
Oh, you should run to that woman that was crying as well. She got you. Yeah.
I mean, she's the one that's giving me all the
grief. Oh, right. I see. Okay.
Yeah. Because the reason why we do it was we started doing the Marvel movies. Andy had never seen a Marvel movie before, way back when. So he went through all the Marvel movies. And their box office is a lot more entertaining because they have huge box offices and wide releases. When it comes to something like this, it's a little bit harder to judge.
Yeah. Mm. We find whenever we have a guest on, I mean, they have like no concept at all as to what like a normal opening weekend.
Oh yeah, I don't. Like I have numbers no look clue. Like, you know, no clue.
Okay, so I won that one. So we'll just establish that I won that one.
Oh, it was a contest? No okay.
I mean, kind of. Yeah, it's me, it's me versus you. Yeah.
Okay.
And he's very competitive.
Very.
Okay. Yeah.
Domestic total, Andy?
Domestic total. And the opening weekend was like 900 something.
970.
1.3.
Okay.
Something low like that.
Wait. So that was the first number. Oh, like total.
The opening weekend.
Okay, and this is just overall over its cinematic.
In
really,
yeah,
in all of time.
In America, yes.
Not worldwide, just America.
Is it like Price is Right rules?
You can be within 10%.
You can just say.
Do you know what Price is Right rules are? It's like closest it's like without going over.
Yeah.
Mm. Although you are allowed to be over.
You are allowed.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not Price the Right.
So it's not, yeah, essentially.
We don't get that over here, Aaron.
Okay.
Winning street rules, you could say.
Street rules.
Winning street rules.
And yet we're talking about American box office.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. you're welcome for this film, by the way.
I don't know what I'd do if America ceased to exist, Andy.
I'm gonna say 2.8.
Oh.
Very close. 3.1.
Oh, shit. Hey, take that, Andy.
Okay.
Fair enough. When we get the guests to raise their arms.
Humble in victory and defeat.
So, worldwide? There's not a huge difference between the domestic and worldwide.
Would have thought
I know I contributed to its worldwide gross because I went to see this in the cinema.
Good man.
It's not a huge... Yeah.
It's 2 and then 1 ticket.
Yes. And my 25 quid for me and my wife.
Right.
3.3.
Okay.
I'm going to say 3.9.
Oh, bang on. 3.9.
Yeah.
Well
fuck
done.
You, Andy.
Oh, shit.
Fuck you.
Fuck.
Yes. I'm way more proud
you know
of
what?
Than
we've
I should
ever,
be.
I don't
way
think
more
we've
proud.
Ever had anybody get it nailed on before.
Wow.
Not me, not Andy.
Not a guess. I mean, I've got it, but. I'm pretty sure.
I've never seen it. I've never seen it.
Okay, well, look, yeah, great. Okay, so it's 2-2, so we'll call it a draw. Okay, great.
Okay, do we want to hear some fun facts about the movie?
Please.
Love to.
The budget for this film was so low, they couldn't actually hire a trained pig. And the pig bit Nicolas Cage multiple times.
Oh.
After a particularly nasty bite, Cage joked, "I've been set on fire, I've been flipped in cars, but it'll be sepsis from a pig bite that kills me."
Wow,
what a way to go out, though.
First line of a novel, that is.
Of his autobiography.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Wow.
According to the director, Michael Sarnowski, they only had 20 days to make the movie. So all the actors had to get everything right from the first time, and there was no budget for reshoots or delays. That is incredibly impressive,
shit.
I think.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Days.
Yeah, I just watched the film last night for the first time. I just found out today about this being his first film. Like, that's incredible. That's
yeah,
so
the
cool.
writer director.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Wow.
I couldn't believe that when I read that either. That like, it's so polished. It's so like. It seems like he, you know, this is his third or fourth movie.
Yeah. And it's so like confident, and it feels like it's his own style.
Yeah.
Like usually when you see like obviously he's like a future auteur, but usually like if you see like Quentin Tarantino's first film or Paul Thomas Anderson's first film, like you see who they're emulating.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
And then they get into their own. But this felt,
felt fully formed, almost straight out of the metaphorical womb.
Okay.
Yeah. Straight out of the pen.
Yeah.
There it is.
This is Cage's 100th feature film as an actor or voice actor, which we were talking about it last week. For somebody who's never done television, his IMDb credits to have that amount is crazy, I think. Like, and he's just
crazy.
Been a film actor since the 80s.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
That's mad.
And he's still not even 60, like.
Right.
Is he not?
Nicolas Cage is Alex Wolff's favorite actor. Alex Wolff played Amir, mm-hmm. so he said it was an absolute thrill to work with him. One of the he's the brother, Andy. You've seen Hereditary.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's the brother of Nat Wolff, who is the son of Hereditary.
I thought he was. I thought they were one and the same. I thought they were the same person. Is Nat Wolff much younger?
I don't know if they're twins or they're like. Because they were child actors, they're on like a Nickelodeon TV series, and I can't remember if they're twins or it's like one is slightly older, but they're dead ringers for one of them.
Wow.
Yeah, fascinating. Okay, cool.
That is a fun fact, Terry.
That is a very fun fact.
Mm. Yeah. Nicolas Cage said it's highly unlikely he'll be able to watch the film as he laid himself out so bare.
Mm.
From what you're saying, Andy, he seems like he. He talked about really enjoying performing it, but he seems to not be able to go back there to watch it.
You would feel embarrassed. You would feel embarrassed. Well, it's just like, I was about to ask an insane question that I am assuming the answer is no to, but like, I'll just ask it. Have you ever recorded? Have you ever, something I've done in the past when I'm like going through like a tough time or a breakup is like if I'm lazy and I don't feel like journaling as in like writing, I'll do like a video journal or a voice message journal just to puke my feelings out there. Sure. Not really like for the record of it, but just free therapy.
You know, I haven't done a video one, but I've certainly typed something on a computer and then deleted it for accidentally sending to all.
the experience would kind of be the same.
Especially Jeff in accounting.
Because like if he's like in it and he's really using all of his life experience and all of his like real emotion applied to this character, it'd be kind of like reading an old journal and you'd just be...
Yeah.
You'd feel so cringe.
It'd be tough to watch.
Yeah. And I think it's less about the skill of the performance, more about just like, being so exposed.
Yeah.
I have Nicholas right here. He's telling me. I realize I'm just saying how I think he feels.
No, that makes sense. That definitely makes sense.
Yeah. There's a lot. It's funny, like he said, like he felt like he'd actually become seasoned as an actor. Like this is 2022.
Right.
He won an Oscar in 1995. So how many, 27 years after he'd, you know, that's what for most people, it's a career defining, achievement. Mm. And he's still acting 27 years later. Personally, for me, I thought he should have got, I know the Oscars are kind of garbage now, but I thought he should have been in the shortlist for the five this year, especially ahead of Will Smith. Me and Andy have discussed this ad nauseum. We did a review of King Richard for our Patreon.
Such a funny movie. Can you imagine if that happened? Hilarious.
Like I was such a big Will Smith fan before, and I was like saying to Terry, you know, especially like I love Pursuit of Happiness. Anytime Will Smith's serious, I'm like, oh, Will Smith. Like I was all on board. And then we watched this and I was like,
it would take a lot for me to not
I'm all in even on his dumbest shit, but even this I was like,
well, you gotta have money for an Oscar campaign. Like living in Los Angeles, like they're like when people are appealing to the Academy for things, you see billboards everywhere that are like Tom Cruise for your consideration and this.
So, oh really?
Yeah you gotta pay for that shit. They don't have budget for, I mean, it would have taken the studio doing like a real push to get it it is mad. All that awards stuff, it's
bollocks.
Of course it is.
I was saying, like I had a real love-hate relationship with the Oscars. Like when I was younger, it was like, you know, I'd stay up and watch it at fucking stupid o'clock Irish time, like because, you know, and you know, I was like, oh, I can't, my guy won or whatever. And like I think, like I was saying to Andy, it was around the time when Joaquin Phoenix won for Joker, and like he should have, in theory, I'm like, he's got like five better performances than that. Like he's winning for this one because it's the most acting. It's the capital A
for sure.
Acting there. For sure. Like whereas some, I think he was up against DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and I was like, I actually think that might be his best performance, or one of his,
yeah,
you know,
I agree,
Raw's
I agree.
Ones.
Yeah, and he went, yeah. DiCaprio won for The Revenant, right?
Yeah, which, yeah, again, like, I probably would have said Wolf of Wall Street the year before that, and then it's like, well, he went and he ate bison and was in the cold, and it's like, oh, well, give him it, you know, like,
yeah, like, okay, he was in the cold.
You know. You know, he went into that.
It was
stream.
Cold, for God's sake.
Yeah. Give him the Oscar. God,
what does he have to do?
Well, they also, I mean, like, you know how, like, bullshit those awards are when so much of it has to do with, like, the role that the person is playing, like, the person, yeah, that they are playing.
Yes.
You know, and, like,
yeah, well, that's, you know,
which is
Richard
so
Williams.
Stoosely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, if you were, I know, it's a funny thing that I get hung up on, but it's like, objectively, you're like, if you, I don't know, you can't really award points for, like, acting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a boxing, yeah, match where it's like, he's landed so many punches, so he wins the round.
Yeah.
But, like, I was looking at it objectively.
That is funny.
Seen,
that is how they look. Yeah.
Like, like, I was listening to John Hodgman talk about this, and it was like, he was saying Chadwick Boseman should have won for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom instead of Anthony Hopkins, because he's like it's not a boxing match, like, that's the narrative, you should have given it to Chadwick Boseman, you know, he passed away and he put in a great performance, I know Anthony Hopkins did, but that was the moment to do it. And I was like, found myself agreeing with him in that case, but then people are like saying, and this is the Will Smith redemption year, and he's done all his thing and all that. And then I'm like, no, in that example, it's the exact same thing. That's the narrative. But I'm like, no, I don't want that narrative. I want
the
nice
one.
I don't
like him. I like him.
Chadwick Boseman's gone too early, so he deserves it. But Will Smith's an asshole. Right. I don't
want
him.
Do you know why the Oscars started? Why they started?
No.
So one of the big studio heads, either Warner, someone whose name was on the studio, I believe, he was mistreating the crew, the workers, like the non-actors and the actors, but they were, like, highly mistreating people, and it was becoming more and more publicized that people weren't being paid fairly, and then the workers wanted to unionize. So the Academy Awards were originally, like, a distraction from that. Like, hey, we're throwing you guys a dinner. Look, everything's
like,
fine.
Hey, shut up.
Yeah,
shut
we're
up.
Giving we're
Watch
giving
this.
You some acknowledgements. That's why it started. You know, like, it's not.
That's really interesting.
It didn't. It
does not surprise me.
You know,
that makes.
Yeah, I
it
mean,
makes
like,
total sense.
Yeah, it's meant to just, like, create morale and stuff. But I'm with you, Terry, that, like, I have a total love-hate relationship with it, because it is, like, if you're into movies, then it's exciting and fun, but then if you find yourself getting too invested in who's winning and losing, and then you have to be like, wait, none of it matters, but then you're like, well, I have to think, like, some of it matters in order to enjoy it the same way. So
I'm like, every year I'm like, how has Paul Thomas Anderson never won an Oscar?
Has he never won an Oscar?
No, he's been nominated like 14 times.
It's such bullshit. All of it's bullshit. Remember, like, have you seen Forrest Gump recently? That movie swept the Oscars, and it is garbage. It is
it's
such problematic bullshit. It's so stupid.
Like, I watched it there recently, and it's like, I was like, oh, is the point he's trying to make that, like, the free-spirited girl who went and found herself, like, well, she was bad.
Yeah.
She got AIDS and died. Well, Forrest, he was straight-laced. And look at, you know, he played by the rules. He colored in the lines. And he got to live a happy life. You know,
like the fact
there's so many gross bits in it.
His mantra is, who cares? Which is like, life is in a box of chocolates. Yeah. You never know what you're going to get. Who cares? Whatever. Goodbye. Here's a feather. I play ping pong. I can run.
And, like, it's such a... Like, it's a thing that, like, I'm sure when we were all growing up, we all loved Forrest Gump. And I guarantee if you say it to, like, 10 people, they'll be like, yeah, it's Forrest Gump. Of course it's great.
Yeah,
and then,
but,
like,
then
you
can watch it again.
I haven't seen it in years. And my memory of it is, great movie. But, like,
I haven't seen it
in, like, 15, 20 years.
I tell you why we thought it was great and everyone liked it at the time. My theory is that we were just so amazed to see this guy cut into all this historical footage. The end.
That's it. It was Zemeckis. It was
slick. And we love Tom Hanks. of course.
He's America's dad.
Yeah, exactly. We fucking love Tom Hanks. And Tom Hanks is one of these rare people who went from being like America's son to America's boyfriend to America's dad to America's boss, you know, like, and he's like grown with us. And then Gary Sinise's performance is really great. And then you get a guy that lists a bunch of different kinds of shrimp, and that's what why it won.
Yeah.
But I think it's mostly I think it's mostly like the effect of putting him in all those things. Honestly. Like,
Gary Sinise is somebody because we did Snake Eyes earlier on in the series, and I was like Gary Sinise is somebody that like you miss on the big screen, like he's doing CSI or whatever, but like he's so fucking good in Snake Eyes. Nick Cage and in that movie, like I will forever be like, you don't know what you're missing. Nobody talks about this movie. It's fucking brilliant. Like the Palmer's last good one, really, but like just Gary Sinise has this weird energy that you don't really see with a lot of like actors these days.
Yeah,
they're either too attractive or they're all creeps, and he's kind of like in the middle. That it's like he's like,
I would love to see you interview Gary Sinise and be like, we miss you on the big screen. Their actors today are too attractive. We need
or too creepy. We need you. You're right in the middle. Scales.
Yeah. Well, he's a real actor's actors. He co-founded
Steppenwolf, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think him and Malkovich and all them. Like,
all right. Yeah.
Because I think that was this line in Being John Malkovich where he's like talking to Charlie Sheen at the end, and he's like, we're all going to go into the new body. Maybe me, you, Gary Sinise, we'll all go in together. Like,
that's very sweet.
Yeah. So, Aaron, why did you pick Pig? We're going to get back to talk about Pig right now. Why did you pick Pig from the list?
You offered me two movies, I think, and this was the one I hadn't seen, is the honest answer.
Good answer.
I can't remember what the other one was, but I had heard that Pig was really good, but I misunderstood, like when people were talking about it, and then when they were like, oh, Nicolas Cage said it's his favorite film, I honestly thought it was going to be John Wick with a pig.
Me too. Yeah. That was my before I went to see it in the cinema, I was like, that's kind of what I pitched it to Faye. It was like my wife.
Right, yeah.
I was like, and it's, you know, and he's going to get his pig back.
Okay, fine, I'll go to that.
Well, I sold her on the original John Wick because of the whole puppy thing.
Yeah,
and she was like, oh, like that's really sad. And then it's like, and it's Keanu, and you know, like Tom Hanks, like who doesn't love Keanu?
Yeah.
And then when you see it, and it's much more,
it's a little
soulful, and it's the inverse of it, like.
Yeah.
And like, what's your relationship with Nick Cage? Like, are you a fan?
Oh, massive fan. I love Nick Cage. Yeah. Earlier, you were like, oh, we'll put a pin on. I can't remember what I said, but I wasn't reanimate. No, I was just making a joke that he was dead, and then they brought him back to life. I don't know. It didn't make any sense. But you know, I didn't work it out beforehand. It just came out of my mouth. I improvised it.
we will stamp you as a fan.
I love Nicolas Cage, and I love him at his corniest. His performance in Moonstruck is like so strange but so good, and it's really silly. He's really great comedically. I really liked that Unbearable Weight of
Me too. Yeah.
I thought that was great. I mean, he's excellent. I thought this. Are we allowed to talk about how we liked the movie? Or I was happy.
Yeah.
That
we're gonna get into.
Oh yeah. Anyway, I love Nicolas Cage, and it was cool. I mean, it's cool with any actor that we've like grown up with that has like hits and misses and, you know, and it like up and down personal stuff, to see him like do something so cool is like, that's our boy. I don't know why I said it like that. I didn't mean to do like a weird sort of black sense there.
Flavor Flav.
Yeah. I'm a bigger Flavor Flav fan.
It's what Nicolas would have wanted you to do. He apparently pitched, I don't know if you've read Seth Rogen's book.
No.
He pitched his idea to star as the villain in The Green Hornet, as he wanted to play a white Rastafarian.
Amazing. You know,
and they were like, I don't think we can get away with that. And then
That's so funny.
Then he saw James Franco's performance in Spring Breakers and apparently set up another meeting with Seth Rogen as a business meeting to then grill him and ask him, did he steal my idea? Did you tell him about my white Rastafarian idea? And did he steal it for Spring Breakers?
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. My God. I mean, I guess you would. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I've actually visited Nicolas Cage's grave.
In New Orleans?
In New Orleans.
What?
Yeah. Wow. So there's so there's this very, very famous cemetery in New Orleans. You've probably seen pictures of like New Orleans cemetery. They, because of the way the ground is and the flooding and stuff, all the graves are they're above ground, and like most of the graves are these sort of shelf situations. So you put the body in, like you'd have like a family plot, and you put the body on like a tray, almost like a pizza oven, and you put them in, and their body is just naturally in the heat. What's the word I'm looking for? Cremate. And then they and then they like move the dust of the bodies down to the bottom. So like most of these like family graves are like boxes of everyone's dust together in one thing,
all mixed in together.
Interesting. But there's this massive, so this particular cemetery is very, very famous because there's a famous hoodoo priestess who's there, and a bunch of like famous New Orleans people and all these historical people, and there's this big waiting list, and you have to be Catholic, and it's, you know, usually have to be part of the family. But when Nicolas Cage had a ton of money before he was going through all his money troubles, he bought a plot. Like, he managed to, like, get ahead of everything. And it's because he's a massive Superman fan. It looks like it's a big pyramid. It's this massive marble pyramid. So, like, I went and visited his future grave.
Oh, my God.
It's there.
That's
He's
crazy.
Kind of the person that, like, I'd like to meet him, maybe, but I don't know.
You would worry that he wouldn't like you.
I'd put him in that Tom Cruise bracket.
Get the fuck away from me.
You know, no, like, yeah. I'd love to meet him, but I'd also be terrified.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to fuck with your relationship to him. You know?
Yeah,
like
that's true.
You have Yeah, but, like, Even if he was the sweetest ever, he's still going to look in your eyes and he's not going to know you the way that you feel like you know him. And it'll feel a little weird, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
My friend did a...
Best stay away, Terry.
Better not to do anything
away,
at all.
Stay away. I also don't think you're in danger of meeting him. So I think you're all right. But
you don't know.
You're right. I don't know. I mean, I feel like you definitely could meet him. I just mean, it won't happen without you having some warning.
Although he may just end up in some like pub in Limerick or something when you happen to be there.
Oh,
sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
I could easily see him being
happening.
Like when you hear, oh, Will Ferrell's in a pub in Longford, or, you know, like these mad stories that just pop out.
Yeah,
I could see Nicolas Cage being one of those guys.
Yeah, though I totally see what you're saying, Andy, and I totally agree. Though, like, can you picture him in Ireland? I can't picture him in Ireland.
No, like we and Andy were watching the clip of him on the Wogan show there, you know, like the late 80s, early 90s.
It was 90
and
or
like,
something like that.
Maybe
what
back
is
then,
the Wogan show?
Terry Wogan, you know Terry Wogan? No.
No.
So you know it's the famous clip of Nick Cage like doing somersaults onto the stage. Have you seen that?
Oh no, I haven't. I gotta look this up after.
He's like proper Nicky Cage,
like
Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Oh,
he's that,
right.
Long hair, and like he like comes out onto the stage, does like a bunch of kicks, does like a somersault, and then like starts throwing money into the crowd. Like, and then
what is he wearing?
Like leather jacket, tight
and
pants,
and nothing underneath.
Really?
So, oh no, he takes it off, like a big hairy chest.
Oh my god! Bless.
But like,
cocaine's a miraculous drug, isn't it?
Yes.
And like, but just the way he's talking about, like. He's like, I came here. And he's like, oh, are you filming anything? Or he's like, no, I came here to come on your show. I came here to meet you.
Oh,
he's like, and there's, they start talking about like robbing a bank, and like Wogan, who is like, he's Irish, but like he worked most, like Graham Norton, he worked most of his career in England.
Okay.
And
was this
hosted
in
the
England
Euro-
or was this in Ireland?
Yeah, it was in BBC.
Oh, okay,
it was in
okay,
BBC,
okay.
I think. So like, he kind of, at that point in his career, or that point in his life, kind of like, oh, I'll just jump over to Ireland for the weekend.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I don't know so much.
Yeah. I mean, like,
yeah, it makes sense.
I could see him, I mean, I could see him like watching like the Star Wars, I forget which one, that had the, that heavily featured
where Mark
that,
Hamill.
Yeah, that Mark Hamill Bird Island.
Island.
I could see him being like, I've got to go there. My friend, I had a friend who like years ago had a really small part on a movie that he was in. I can't remember the movie. It was like one of these that's like kind of lost to, it's not like a notable, like a super notable film. But
The Godfather.
Yeah, I was The Godfather. my friend was Marlon Brando. Rest in peace.
Holy shit.
I'm 70 years old. I should have said.
You look great.
I do. Thank you. Thank you. I spend most of my day in a freezer. But anyway, like he was on this
the
film.
Inverse of Nick Cage.
Yeah. And my friend is like a big film nerd, and he was really excited to be shooting this movie. We're all excited to see, you know, what Nicolas Cage was like. And he said that like he didn't talk to him a lot. He was only on set for a few days, but that his only interaction with Nicolas Cage was like they were all staying in the same hotel. And his son, Nicolas Cage's son, was with him, so he wasn't like hanging out. And he was like, every night that he was there, he would hear Nicolas Cage running through the halls going, Kal-El! Kal-El! Kal-El!
That is something that, like, I would not doubt that for one second.
No,
like,
no.
At the very least, Kal-El as well.
And, like, he only knew it was Nicolas. Well, I mean, he has a very distinct voice, doesn't
distinct
he?
Voice.
But, like, but there'd be no question, like, someone screaming Kal-El.
Such a diehard Superman fan. I forgot all about that, that his kid was called Kal-El.
Oh, yeah. I had friends who made a documentary about the Kevin Smith's Superman.
I've seen that documentary. Death of Superman Lives.
Yeah,
very interesting. And like they have like the behind the scenes.
They're not really good friends. They used to. Well, this is a weird thing to say. No, they're lovely. One of them passed away a couple years ago. Anyway,
I'm just laughing at how it sounded
like I had like some problem. No, they're people that you see all the time. They come over to your house and you hang out a bit, but they're more like friends. I mean, I think
friends
they,
of friends.
No, I feel really self-conscious about this. I think.
What you need to do is take out your camera later on and vomit it out.
People who like think that they are closer friends to you than you are to them, or they, but like not in a weird, I don't know. Anyway.
Me, Andy, you're pointing at me. How
Is that translating? Am I pointing to you?
You're pointing to black.
You're pointing out the door.
Forget it.
So pig.
Yeah, so Andy, I'm gonna throw it to you, and I want you to be brutally honest. You're amongst friends here. Don't hold back.
Okay.
What did you think of Pig?
Didn't like it.
Oh, Andy.
Really?
Here's what I would say. Like I'm not
this is disappointing.
Is this part
Are you
for
surprised?
The course for Andy? Does he not like a lot of things?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, some.
Did
I
you
surprise
like
him
the
with,
unbearable?
This is 90 minutes. This is 86 minutes.
Did you
Andy.
Like the Unbearable Weight movie?
Haven't seen.
We didn't
that
get
one.
To that. Yet.
Okay.
But here's, I would say it's a good movie. Like it's a good movie.
Yeah.
But I didn't enjoy it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, not at all. Not
I didn't
to me.
Enjoy watching it.
I think.
The ending that. Left me with a sour taste in my mouth. Frankly.
Really.
Quite frankly,
oh my god,
I was almost crying at the end.
Of course,
I'm so sorry to interrupt to ask, but I really have to know, like, just so I have some sort of metric for you, Andy. Like, what would be like, what are like three of your comfort films?
Three of my favorite films?
Yeah, well, if we're going through it, like enjoying films.
Okay.
Yeah, three of your
this
favorite
is all
films.
Going to become so clear.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
I would say
Toy Story, Ghostbusters. Toy Story 2, Toy Story 3. Okay.
Ghostbusters. Jurassic Park. I mean, I'm talking like proper, like, I do like some, like, not like billion-dollar box office movies.
Do you? Haven't heard an example of one.
I just can't name
get
one
him,
now.
Man. Get him.
And only but, films from like 1982 to 93. Yeah.
82 to like 99.
Yeah.
But now, like, I've
what's your third one?
Ghostbusters 2. Okay.
No, terrible. Give another real example.
You can't choose Ghostbusters 2. So it's terrible.
Spot. I'm so on the spot here.
You are on the spot. What was the last movie that you watched that you enjoyed just recently?
I mean, it would have been a kids one, probably.
That's okay.
Is it?
Is it? Sonic 2?
Like, okay, alright, okay. I hear you. Big
that film
budget,
gets weird.
Big budget.
I think I've heard enough.
Yeah. Alright, sorry for that. Alright, go on, Andy.
I'm not a film buff at all, but I've watched a bunch of movies for this podcast for the last... I've seen a bunch of movies though, Aaron.
Good job.
Face Off, Andy. Why didn't you say Face Off?
This series, Face Off is the
okay,
top.
You like
yeah.
Face Off, yeah.
Like
yeah,
Face
yeah.
Off, Con Air, love 90s action, that sort of stuff. Okay. Like I just like, you know, but this one I kind of felt like, see, this is the problem as well when we have someone who actually knows what they're talking about on the pod, because like I feel like I miss some really like, I'm like, oh, I didn't like that, and then like the guest and Terry be like, no, but that meant that blah 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 was because he did that because blah blah blah, and I'm like, oh, okay. I left me like kind of going like, yeah, like I finished this in my car this morning.
Okay.
I fell asleep last night, and then I watched it in the car before work, and I was only one in the car, and when the end credits rolled, I said out loud, great.
Do you think that your viewing experience may have had anything
possibly, but I watched it on that lovely F2 movies thing the night before.
You had it on the big screen?
Yeah, big screen.
Right.
Do you think
that films are all meant to just make you feel awesome all the time? Or like,
yeah,
like Schindler's List, yeah, where you're no, like, meh, too sad. Why?
I love Schindler's List.
I love Schindler's List. That'd be Schindler's so funny if that was
on. I had a blast.
Rosenberg, Ghostbusters, and
Schindler's List.
That 93 Spielberg run, wowee. You cannot beat it. He does Jurassic Park and Schindler's List back to back, baby.
Yeah, no, I generally like, no, like I just don't like, just don't give me, don't give me shite.
This is far from shite. Come on.
This thing, it's a good movie, and I would say after that, I thought that afterwards, I was like, I think this is a very well made movie, but like I'm never gonna watch it again.
Did
you know
not
what I mean?
Think Nicolas Cage was amazing in this movie?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I did, but I didn't like it.
Why?
You know what I mean?
Can't you appreciate something? I didn't enjoy it. Yeah.
Right.
Can't you appreciate something, the art form for what it is? We like, that's, you know, the way you like, you listen to a certain genre of music and you're like, it's not for me, but I appreciate the talent there.
Sure. Or you see a something, painting, and you're like, I can see all the skill that went into this painting, but I don't want it on my wall.
But I wouldn't hang it. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I was thinking with this one. I kind of,
all right.
The end did sour me, and I know that's real surface level.
Like, you didn't like that. I mean, the end is, you know, bitter.
I love
it. I love the end too, but it's hopeful. It's very hopeful.
Stupid.
You thought it was stupid.
Stupid. I was like, okay. Now look, this is the part where you're both going to correct me and tell me why I'm stupid. But it was like, okay, like, so he makes him a meal, and I was like, okay, fine. He breaks down, okay, and then it's like, oh, your pig is dead. And I was kind of thinking, okay, well, you know, we're gonna find out, like, you know, we're gonna get some sort of closure on that. Like, no, just he said he's dead. He's the pig's dead, and now you go home and. The end.
Did you stop watching after that? Because there's more to it when he goes back home.
Mentally, yes.
Okay.
I mean, what did I miss? Tell me, both of you.
Well,
tell me what I missed here.
I mean, the whole.
Where do I begin?
Well, first off, I understand what you're saying, but like the major theme of the film is grief and loss. And the pig had to die because we needed to his redemptive arc after this experience is dealing with his grief in a different way. So we understand that the first time he lost...
Knew this was coming.
The first time he lost like his partner, essentially, because the pig does kind of become his partner. He went to the woods, shut down entirely, stopped showering, and just like shut himself off from the world.
Gave up.
This time around, he through his experience of like being able to do something nice for that young man, for Alan Wolf,
not Alex?
Wolf, Alex Wolf, for one of the Wolf boys. He was
those Wolf brothers.
He the implication is that like he's that's changed him, and so he was able to go home and listen to this tape from his wife that we're seeing at the beginning. Do you remember at the beginning of the film where he's trying to listen to it and he couldn't
play it?
Yeah.
So we kind of are like, okay, he's gonna be okay. He's gonna like re-enter life, but the pig did have to die.
I knew the pig was gonna die, and I kind of, the cynic in me kind of scoffed when I heard that whole tape thing, because it was that classic trope of like, you know, come on, turn the camera off.
I'm
you
sorry,
know,
Andy, but
watching...
a guy whose favorite films are Ghostbusters,
Jurassic Park
doesn't get to say shit about tropes. I mean,
that means I know tropes better than anybody.
Clever girls. Be made with an equation. I mean, those are both great films, to be fair. But.
No, I know what you mean. I was just kind of a bit like, really, like, you know, but
it like, was any part did of you that, not? Like, not wanting to, like, because the film does make you, like, demands of the audience, like, okay, you're gonna have to feel some of this shit in order for. Is it possible that you were just like, I'm just not in, just don't want to feel this right now?
Yep. Yes, very possible. I'm normally starting at a, like, when I watch, because we watch so many movies, it's Terry's fault, really. when we watch so many movies that I'm starting a movie like this.
You know, so for the listener, Andy has his arms crossed like a grumpy child like from the 1800s who like is waiting for some bread. And he knows it's going to be bad, but he has to eat it anyway.
I'm like, right, win me over. And then the fact that I was like, okay, it's 90 minutes, it's 86 minutes. I was like, brilliant, like, great. So, like, because I really have a thing with long movies. But this, like, was...
Did the world that he created, did that not even intrigue you?
Yeah,
the idea
and
of
you
this,
know what?
Like...
And I'll tell you what else. That I was normally, whenever I watch a movie by myself without Kerry, I end up like thinking it's great. And she's always like, oh, you always seem to see the good ones when I'm not there. I'm wondering if it's the fact that we're both sitting there like, this is shy, that tires my view. But I was going to watch it in work, and I seen the synopsis, and I was like, oh, I'll stop that, because I think Kerry will actually love this. The whole concept of it, I was like, great, he's some guy in the woods, and he's got a pig, and, you know, whatever. I didn't really know much about it.
Kerry
like,
will
save,
love this.
I'll
it's
save
a guy
yeah.
the
guy in the woods with a pig. You know, and it was like, it seems like a moody kind of, you know, I was all like, I like the odd sort of moody, quiet film like this, but I don't pick up on these, you know, these themes that you guys are talking about.
It's not like it's subtle in this movie.
It seems subtle.
I would have, if I was,
it's in the text.
If I was under time pressure and I was having to watch like at work or on my phone, I think I probably I don't know if I would have like been as turned off by it as you were, but I definitely don't think I would enjoy watching it that way or be able
to. It's not optimum.
And it's such a visual movie. Like much of the storytelling is so visual that
it'd be
really hard to watch on your phone. Yeah.
You're like watching
tough.
Like this and like, yeah, I'm looking over my steering wheel. I'm like, what's he up to?
Yeah. I mean, that's
you know, anyway, what's this? How long is left in this fucking thing?
Yeah. What are you doing, Andy?
I'm just gonna watch this fucking podcast.
I put it on my calendar. Jordan had seen the movie already, but he was like, "Okay, I'll watch this with you." And I was like, "Okay, you've seen the movie before, but we're gonna be totally quiet during the movie, and we're gonna really get into it. We lit a candle even." Oh. And then just fucked, and then we watched the movie, which is always our pre-movie ritual.
movies are always better then.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that sounds like a horrible experience watching this on a phone.
I knew.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Sorry, Aaron just came over there. Came out really like, so really like 1984, like whatever. It was real distorted, and you're like, "I'm not saying you're wrong."
Oh, I was wondering why you guys were laughing. I am not saying we are watching you, Andy.
But yeah, I knew this was coming as well because I knew you was about love it as well.
Well, hold on, let me ask it. Let's just pick a couple of scenes.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
I want to discuss a couple of scenes. Yeah, okay. Like the whole scene of he goes to that fight club.
Yeah.
Undergrad. Like, what did you think? Like, I really appreciate the inventiveness of that.
Didn't understand what was happening there.
because a car was merging and you were having to go into the other lane.
I was driving on the M11. And I was watching it and we were both watching it and I was like, is this like you like pay money to beat the shit out of someone? Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And like, okay, I get movies. The first time I watched it, but like,
you've seen this before.
I went to see it in the cinema and like, I went to see it in the cinema, but like, I picked up the first time, it's like, oh, somebody's beating him up. But then like, when you realized, oh, the guy who's punching him has like outbid everybody like fivefold.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, like he must have like worked for him in the past or something. Mm. You know the way like he writes his name like Robin Field.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, oh, it's, you know, or Robin Feld. He's like, oh, Sheffield. Yeah. And then like, I was like, that kind of came into my head. I was like, oh, why is this guy like so desperate to beat him up? I was like, oh, maybe he worked for him. And like, this is like cathartic for him. Yeah. Like,
I loved how like so much of the movie is kind of interpretive. Because like I could see that when I was watching it, and I don't think I could totally see that. I was thinking it was someone who was like just another chef or like someone else who just like wanted to feel better than him.
Mm. Like Fight Club, like the
or maybe that entered into my head. But then you see that scene where he goes back to his old restaurant and he's getting the bread from the baker and she gives him a hug and it was like, oh, he must have been like a good person to work for.
Who knows?
I think that's one of the things I really like about the movie is that you don't know. Like, it is
like, yeah, like speaking of that scene, the first time I watched it I was like, is that his daughter? Is that like a daughter that he left behind? But then I was more like, oh, well, she worked for him, but was
but that's the vibe. You know, that's kind of the relationship. You know, that's the vibe. Like, yeah. And I loved every scene. I also love that scene when he's at the, I think the restaurant's called Fennel.
Finley's or Finway's?
Or whatever. The fancy restaurant.
Talking to the other chef.
I did like that scene.
It's probably the best scene I saw last year.
It's amazing. And it's so unique.
His face.
Your man is so good. I've never seen anything else. He was so amazing. Like, Nicolas Cage is brilliant as well because he's just, you know, staring into his soul.
Yeah.
But like that smile.
You know what's
like,
so funny about that actor? I was watching that last night. I was like, oh yeah, this is incredible. And I was like, this guy's a brilliant actor. Like, this is amazing what he's being able to show on his face. And I was like, I didn't look him up and I was like, I don't know him from anything. And then today he was in that really shitty movie that I watched.
No way.
Yeah, he just had like a small part, but I was like, holy shit, it's that guy in this piece of shit film.
That was so amazing though.
Good.
Yeah.
With that whole thing, he's like, you wanted the pub And like, it, like even just the mention of
he's like,
the pub.
Just that smile.
Nobody wants pubs, like, you know?
Yeah. And
the idea of...
Like, you see such pain in his eyes, like, yeah, as he's just trying to, like the, go through the smile.
Well, like,
the drinking of the wine.
I found it, I know. I found it so impactful, just like the, and very moving, like the other theme of your relationship to the truth. Is the truth what everyone believes about you? Is your truth what your own existence is? Like, is your truth like you being alone in the woods? Like, what, you know, what actually matters? What's real? Are you going to define reality by other people or by your own self? And there's got to be like some sort of in between, otherwise you cut yourself off from everything. But but I mean, meanwhile, like, Andy was like, oh, I gotta go by Maxwell and pick up some crisps. I guess I'll pause this for a second.
How long is left?
Yeah, where are the ghosts?
I will say though, for that scene, even the other guy, what was his name?
Alex Wolf,
his little Amir. Buddy.
Yeah, what was his name? Emil? No,
Amir.
Amir. Amir.
Yeah,
Amir. I even knew that, Aaron. But like, he was even so good at just his reactive shots the whole time. Like, he was, I found, very understated, but like a very, like, you really...
He was a very good performance in the whole film.
Sort of looking at him, at Cage doing his thing, and just like, just the silent look on his face, I thought was like really well done. Like, it's not, looks easy, but it's, you know, I'm sure not.
And all those
I was just going to say, to what you're saying, like what your truth is or whatever, like, it's like when I watched it this time, I was like, oh, like it's so obvious. Like, half of what we consume, like on our phones, is you know, social media, Instagram, whatever. Like, what Nicolas Cage is saying is like, it's not real.
Yeah,
you know, none of it is real, or for the majority. Like, we only get so much. Like, into, you're not, a lot of the time is we're not showing everybody who we are.
And is it actually making you happy? Like, in the that scene, it's like, you know, the unreality that's making everyone else happy, or so you think, isn't real, but also they don't actually care. Everybody's just like playing this game because they think they have to, and everyone feels like they're the only person who has to play it, and like eventually their happiness and truth will align with everyone else's. But great.
Like, a trap we've set for ourselves as a generation, like in terms of this whole, this box of Twitter, Instagram, TikTok that we've willingly climbed into.
Yeah,
I know. 100%. And it's
so very heavy now. Like,
it's so intertwined with, but, I mean, like, it's so intertwined with capitalism as well, which is so crazy. Like, our, I mean, I don't know enough to talk about this properly, but like, it feels like this is like the, never before have human beings had their social interactions so intertwined with how much money they're making. And it's fucked up.
I would much rather the Nicolas Cage living alone in the woods with a pig lifestyle than the alternative.
No bears.
But you know what I mean? Like, I think
you have a wife and kid, right?
Yeah, two kids.
Go on. So you'd rather be alone in the.
But I got this pig, and she gets me. She gets me.
Don't call your wife. I'd murder.
I'm gonna text Carrie to make sure she listens to this one. If you listen to one podcast a year, it's this one.
Yeah, if you ever decide to start listening to my podcast, now is the one.
I love the twist of, like, he doesn't actually need the pig for the truffles.
Yeah.
He finds them himself. Like, you know, like when he goes to, he goes to Amir's dad's house, played by the great Adam Arkin.
Yeah, Alan Arkin's son.
Son, yeah. He's a dead ringer for him.
Yeah.
Well, you might know him. You were a fan of.
You're about to insult me here. You're going to insult me here with some lowbrow thing that he was in.
Eight Simple Rules.
Oh, yeah.
And he was kind of the replacement.
And I know it.
Boyfriend
for
John Ritter when he passed away.
Stopped watching after he passed away.
Yeah.
He was like Katie Seagal's love interest after that. Like, you know, I
was too hurt. I couldn't watch it.
Halloween H2O. He was like the principal. You didn't see Halloween H2O?
No.
That would have been right up your alley.
Yeah. Big horror fan, Aaron. Yeah, big. And I've got sophisticated horror tastes, I'll tell you that.
Ghostbusters? But,
just don't ask me.
Well, that makes sense. Okay, well, it's all adding up now, because like your relationship with films, which is not like a wrong relationship, is like the experience. It's the ride of it. It's the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas me and Terry I
would imagine you're a big fan.
What does this mean? And
sorry, let me guess. Were you a big fan of I'm Thinking of Ending Things?
I did not see it actually.
Yeah. You'd love it. You'd love it. If you aren't like Terry, you'd love it. But I was, this is the one that I was the most like furious watching.
Okay.
And Terry absolutely loved
it. I've seen it twice.
You know, the reviews. Charlie Kaufman.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I gotta see it. I had lunch with Charlie Kaufman once and hung out with him a bit.
Shit.
He's exactly like this. Now just me name dropping, but it's so I could tell a very brief story. But my ex-husband worked on a animated film that he wrote called Anomalisa, like his my ex-husband's
great
production company made it. And so like there are a few times when actually I had lunch with Charlie Kaufman, Louis C.K. and my ex-husband.
Wow, okay.
So this was last year.
Oh my God.
No, I'm joking. Oh, yeah. Charlie Kaufman, like they did a screening of like an early version of the film at the production company. And Charlie Kaufman, even though I like met him several times and like had lunch with him, like I was always just like, it's Charlie Kaufman. Like just kind of terrified. And oh no, have I frozen? Did I freeze there? Or didn't you guys just freeze?
No.
Oh, okay, cool.
We got you listening intently.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, huh? Hanging on your every word.
Well, yeah, well, he's,
my dinner with Andre.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Well, he's very, very nice and like nervous and just like you'd assume him to be. But they did a screening of Anomalisa at the production company, and I was coming late from something. So I knew I was like going to show up and like just walk into the theater and it was going to be starting. And it's like a little viewing room. And I showed up and Charlie was standing, not on a first name basis with him. Charlie Kaufman's like standing outside the thing. And I was like, yeah, I was like, oh, hi.
Hey, Chuck.
Yeah. Hey, Chuck. What's up? What's up?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And I felt a little embarrassed that I was late. Anyway, like, hi. Oh, I'm, has it already started? And he's like, oh, it's going to. And weirdly, I was the only person that he knew there. I thought my ex-husband was going to be there. He wasn't. And so he was like, can I walk in with you? And I was like, okay. And so I went in with him.
He was nervous to go in?
Yeah. It was like the first time seeing a cut of it. And he was just very nervous. Right. And it was for all the animators on the film, I believe. Oh, I got to like animate, not person, but I got to work on some little things like a kid, like a take your kid to work day almost thing with that.
Cool.
Anyway, the story is that like I walked into the back and I sat in, everyone was sat like towards the front. It was just like 10 people or so. And I sat next to Charlie Kaufman and the whole movie, he just watched my reaction to everything.
Oh.
And it was
no pressure.
It was like the...
And it's not an easy watch either.
No, I mean, that was the worst movie watching experience of my entire life, was just like knowing that he was, I mean, he wasn't just like straight on staring, but like after everything, he was just like, and so I was like, is this the right reaction? I mean, it's like kind of a challenging film, and you're like, where certain times you're like, is this meant to be funny? Is this not? And I was like, this could... Am I shaping what he decides to cut based on my reactions and how I'm getting it?
Your mind wanders for a second and you miss some pivotal bit. He's like, got to cut that whole scene.
Yeah.
I will readily, you know, accept that I'm Thinking of Ending Things is not for everyone. But I thought there would be at least something for you to like good performances, you know, whatever. And Andy...
I was furious.
It was our previous.
And I wasn't the only one.
Netflix.
Right.
So we picked 6 Netflix original movies because we were kind of asking, why does nobody cut Netflix out of their budget? You know, when you talk with people and they're like, oh, I got rid of Amazon or I got rid of Disney Plus, but they always keep Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, well, let's pick six of their original movies. And I kind of picked the ones that were going for that Oscar that they alluded, like Mank and Roma. And
right.
He didn't finish Mank, which is fucking killer. That was a hard one.
Didn't like it. But I mean, you knew I wouldn't like it as well. You, like,
Did you watch Okja recently?
No. I've seen Okja, yeah. I'd seen it, so I hadn't. I didn't pick it for the thing. Mm. I was trying to pick ones that I hadn't seen. I loved Okja.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I just recently watched Memories of a Murder, which is...
That's great.
That's another movie you wouldn't like, Andy.
Yeah.
That's like a green Zodiac. Andy though, like, so
it's very good.
I think I've seen Zodiac.
You know what I saw, which I think you'd really like, Terry, and Andy, you should really steer clear of, is Official Competition. I saw it a couple.
That's the new Pedro Almodóvar.
No, it's not. It's a different Spanish director, but it's with Antonio Banderas and Penelope Cruz. It's with a lot of actors that he works with. But it's amazing. It's great. I loved it.
Yeah. I never made a fool of myself.
I just forgot that we were doing a podcast, and now I'm just like, have you seen this? Great. What are you saying? Yeah, anyway.
Please, by all means.
Yeah.
You're talking going. His language. Finally, he's getting some proper discourse on this podcast. You see what he's been tolerating every week.
I would see it. We used to do a Simpsons podcast, and we would talk about, like, before we get into the episode, we just like, oh, what have you been watching? Or, you know, and like, I did this. Mm. And I say, oh, have you seen this? I actually watched Predator. And Andy's response was always, I haven't seen it. like anything I mentioned to him. Like, that's what we started.
It became right, a running catchphrase on the pod. But then again, like, Terry sees, like if it wasn't for the podcast, I think I'd probably watch like two movies a year, and they'd be like deliberately bad. Like, you know, I like bad movies,
right.
You know, like, you know, like high concept movies. You know, like
Nazis in the center of the earth.
Something like that, exactly. Yeah. Does that exist? That sounds great.
Yeah, it's a movie. I think it's called Nazis. It's about Nazis in the center of the earth. I think it's called Nazis Brilliant. In the center of the earth.
I'll seek that out.
Messing around.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, but those, I forgot what my point was, but those are the sort of movies that but if it wasn't for the pod, like, Terry will say, like, oh, I've seen, he's like, oh, I was watching, I've been to the movies three times this week, and oh, I've seen 12 movies this month, or, you know, and I'm like,
I love the approach of, like, all right, my one of my best pals, I want to talk to him about movies, but he doesn't go to him. Let me create a podcast where I force him to.
That's what he's done. That's genius. Just,
and then you
vessel.
Get to choose what he watches. This is a
yes,
great.
And I've only just discovered it, Aaron.
You
and
just
I've only
realized.
Just discovered. No, only a couple of months ago. Only a couple of months ago, I said to him, like, this podcast is just one big vessel to trap me into watching the movies that you want to talk about.
But also,
and I'm sitting there like,
no, but come on, like, say this mini series alone, like, how many have you, like, thought, like, I never would have watched that, but I'm glad I did.
I had seen Adaptation before and I liked it, but I didn't remember it, and I watched it again and I really liked it.
I need to rewatch it. Yeah, I liked it when I
was so good.
Yeah. So I loved Adaptation.
Oh, yeah, no, I always confuse it with something else. Yeah, I recently, but yeah, it's great. Yeah.
So, like, that was one that I didn't expect, but, like, what I will say about this series, and I realize we haven't talked too much about this movie, but, you know, whatever.
It's a short movie.
It's hard to talk about a great film, you know. Yeah. It's hard to talk to him about it.
But I will say, yeah, I will say that great. I respect him.
Terry.
I thought that Nicolas Cage would be more like, sort of crazy, like Nick Cage, but it wasn't, and I can see the method to his madness. And I do think now that he's a good actor. I wouldn't have called myself a Nick Cage fan before, but, you know, I call myself one now. I definitely think he's a good actor, and I like that he doesn't act like everyone else.
Yeah,
he's playing Dracula next. Like,
is he?
Really?
Oh yeah, he's playing Dracula. Is that, like, why he has the red hair?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just saw an on-set picture of him, and it's like, you know, that pancake makeup, like black lips and like slick back hair.
Oh, right.
I think the movie is more focused on Renfield. It's called Renfield, I think.
Okay.
And, like, he's going to be playing Dracula. Like, but like, I love, like, we talked about it before with his like peaks and valleys in his career. Like, he was the biggest action star in the world, which is a mad thing to think of.
It is.
If you think about it now, like, you know, that, like, 95, 96, 97 he had was like crazy. And then to kind of, he hit a bit of a skid and then was back in favor after Adaptation and Matchstick Men. He was kind of working with, you know, Ridley Scott and these people, and kind of went down again, kind of was out of the public consciousness for a while, then like had those, you know, National Treasure movies. Is back, like, he's up and down quite a bit now. It's been quite a valley for the you know, the 2010s with the whole DTV movie,
those weird movies.
It's like 10 for them, 1 for me type thing. But like this, I was so glad to see him come back with this. Like, and then Unbearable Weight as well. Like, to kind of, he's having a moment again, and long may it continue.
Yeah, rooting for him. Andy, as a horror fan, have you seen Nicolas Cage in Wicker Man?
No, I've seen the original. I haven't seen his, but I hear he's insane.
It's mad. It's great. I mean, it's very camp, but I feel like it's pretty watchable. Like, it's goofy, it's pretty watchable.
It sounded goofy from what
both times I've watched it. It's been with, you're having a drink and laughing and talking.
It's a party
movie.
Like how you'd watch Jackass or something like that.
You know, you'd have people over and
it wouldn't be like, shut up, I can't hear it. It wouldn't be one of those.
The guy who directed it as well is Neil LaBute.
Great name.
It's a pretty misogynistic film. Like, if you take the Nicolas Cage-ness away from it, it's like, and he's a pretty fairly misogynistic director, I would say. And like, the idea that it's like a whole all-woman cult island, and like, at one point he's like punching them in the face.
Yeah, like, it's really silly.
He is at a 10.
Yeah.
It's almost as if you feel like they just were like, okay, we're just going to follow you around, Nick.
Whatever.
Come on, we're over here. Like,
come on, we're over here.
Hey, look, we're going to run through the forest.
Okay, great. Yeah, we got it.
We got it.
Okay. Oh, boy.
I think we should put a bow on it there, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think we've a really in-depth interview of Pig
there. Handy sight.
I'm glad. I'm glad, because chances are the people listening haven't seen it, so I think it's probably no harm that we just
risk. It's very good.
Don't bother.
I watched it on Sky.
I'm going to watch it again. I thought it was great.
How about that?
Yeah. So, thank you, Andy. I mean, the real question is, who won the podcast with the... There are no many.
Well, we have a 2-2. Let me see. Can I come up with a tiebreaker?
So that's it. It's a tie. I think that's it.
You got any other stats there?
Hold on. Let me come up with one here.
Okay, come on. Off the cuff. What movie?
There for a second.
What movie of this? No. What number movie is this for Nicolas Cage? 100. So
I'm coming up the question. Like
okay. Oh, I completely misread the situation. Excuse me. Go on then. Okay, dead air.
How about this? What is his current net worth? I'm gonna throw it to Andy first.
$13 million.
Okay.
I'm gonna say, because it's off one of those websites.
12.4 again?
I'm going to say...
Don't do it.
36 million.
What did you say, Andy?
13.
And you said 36. Very close.
What is it?
25 million.
Is that right in the middle?
You...
You get are it. Closer by 1 million, Aaron.
Hey, I won! I won the podcast.
Oh, look boy.
At his face, huh?
Delighted for you. Congratulations, Aaron.
I mean, it's guest luck. It's guest luck, obviously.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Really happy for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I really appreciate
it. Aaron, do you have anything you want to plug before we wrap it up?
Sure. Well, if you're in Dublin, I'm the artistic director of an alternative comedy theater where we do improv classes and screenwriting classes. If you're someone like Andy and you don't understand films, you should come and take a
unbelievable
screenwriting class. We do shows every Thursday downstairs at Wigwam on Middle Abbey Street, and it's really fun. And if you like comedy and that sort of thing, it's just good to come and hang out and make pals.
I personally have taken two of Aaron's courses, and they are fantastic for somebody who is trying to learn how to put some of my love of cinema on the page. And I thought they were brilliant, very informative.
Thank you very much. And it does it does sound like you. And you don't have to just like the same kinds of movies as me and Terry to enjoy the class.
You can be an Andy.
Only. If we anything, we'd never use more that. Towards the Andes.
You know, I don't care for it to become a thing. An expression. <don't>.
Are you an Andy or a Terry? I mean, that's your T-shirt. That's just, I'm an Andy. I'm a Terry, and then you guys can see which sells more.
I'd like love to get an I'm an Andy t-shirt.
Article there. Are you an Andy or a Terry? Yeah. Take this quiz.
You won't believe the answer to number three.
You won't believe.
Is that it, Terry?
If you've done the else to plug, Aaron, we'll get ours in, our usual.
I'm all good. I'm doing a show at the Dublin Fringe called Clankety Clank. You just go to the Dublin Fringe website and look up when that is. Oh.
That's cool. Brilliant.
We've been to see Dream Gun at Dublin Fringe before. We went to see you guys do Silence of the Lambs, I think. Well, it might have been longer. I think it was pre-lockdown.
Oh, right.
After the show, we were discussing with Tony and tentatively making plans for a live show. And then... the funniest thing happened.
Yeah, go on. Yes.
So next year we'll be on stage, I'm sure. Yeah. That'll be 5 year anniversary to the day.
I'm gonna plug our shit as well, Terry.
Get it in.
You can find us on Instagram at What's So Great About Pod. You can find us on Twitter at WSGApod. Maybe you can be one of the people who engages with our posts on Twitter. I'm not bitter.
Bring the energy up a little bit. You're out of five. I need to get eight.
Instagram, sure. Keep doing what you're doing there. Maybe someone share a story or two. That'd be great. But you know what? I'm sounding bitter. Just check us out there. You'll find links to everything we do there, including our... video podcasts and our Patreon.
Oh, the Patreon. Thanks for mentioning that, Andy. So, over on the Patreon, we have two tiers. You can support us. You can be one of our hungry hearts, which is literally pay what you want. I think it's the minimum is a euro.
Oh, I so regret it. I so regret setting up that tier. I was saying to Terry, like, oh, we should just have a, they can pay what you want. Like, I'd rather people just hear it. It's not about the money. And then anyone who signs up to the $1 tier, I'm like, fucking cheap fucks. I want to get rid of it so bad.
Anyway, for the €1 tier, you'll get 4 episodes a month. You get all access to our back catalogue of What's So Great About Marvel movies, What's So Great About 90s action movies, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, and What's So Great About Big Willie's Flops, aka Will Smith's Bad Movies. Yeah, Andy hated Ryan Gosling. Anytime I mentioned them on the podcast, it would be followed by that worm.
And that worm. I like it.
One of our lovely patrons said, you should do a miniseries on Ryan Gosling.
It was good. It was good. He won me over.
This is what it is.
This is the show, essentially.
That's funny. It's just Terry convincing Andy. Dave.
Forcing movies down my throat every week.
If you ever heard him, whenever I mentioned a Marvel movie, it's like, shy. And I was like, but you haven't seen any of them. It's like, they're shy. It doesn't matter. And then you pitched me the idea of the Marvel. You actually started this whole thing, Andy. Yeah. You cast your mind.
Now look at me. Now look at me.
We also do kind of bonus episodes over there. We do top five album openers, top five needle drops in movies. We've done dream festivals, perfect day. A lot of
I feel like you quote too many of these when you.
Well, I could have back. All right, I could have back. That's enough there. Then
lots of stuff.
I mean, it sounds great. And lots of stuff.
And then we have our $5 tier, which is everything we got there plus you get all of our video content once Aaron signs on the dotted line here, and you get a monthly bonus Q&A. Oh, and you also get our Put It in H, which is our Simpsons podcast. We're back doing that behind the paywall only once a month. And if you can't afford to pay the minimum of €1 a month,
then you should not be listening to podcasts. Like, you have bigger concerns.
Get to work.
Tell them, Aaron. You can do me a favor. You can give me a rating or a review. Now, Andy.
Yes, sorry.
In this movie.
Go on.
I didn't even think of one.
Go on. How are you going to do your bit this week?
There was three courses to the dinner that they had.
Okay.
No, I don't want a 3-star review, Andy. That's no good. I want a 5-star review.
Unbelievable. How does he do it? So stupid. Every week it's like some sort of number from the thing that we've just reviewed and saying, I don't want that number. I want a 5-star review. But like, I just like to watch him think of it on the spot.
Sometimes I have it more prepared in my head. I was having such a good time that I didn't.
You're on a real poor run.
The hour or whatever like that.
You're on a really poor run, if I may say.
I'm a poor run, excuse me.
Yeah, if I may say. You're on a very poor run there.
You may not. give us a rating or review. Really helps grow the podcast, get some new ear holes listening to us.
Gross.
And gets us back in the chart. it goes. And back in our hearts. And or, you know, tag a friend, tell a friend, do all that social media marketing for us.
Yeah.
Okay. Aaron, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I had a very nice time.
So much fun. Thank you, Aaron.
Guys, we will see you next time.
So long. Goodbye. I'll see you when I see you. You can pick the street. I'll meet you on the other side. So long. Goodbye. Do I really have to finish? Do returns always diminish? Did I say that right? Does anybody want to joke when no one's laughing in the background? So this is how it ends. I promise to never go outside. I'm slowly losing power. Has it only been an hour? No, that can't be right. So long. Goodbye. Hey, here's a fun idea. How about I sit on the couch and I watch you next time? I
wanna hear you tell a joke when no one's laughing in the background. Am I going crazy? What I even know? Am I right back where I started 14 years ago? Wanna guess the ending, if it ever does? I swear to God that all I've ever wanted was a little bit of everything, all of the time. A bit of everything, all of the time. Apathy's a tragedy and boredom is a crime. I'm finished playing and I'm staying inside. If I wake up in a house that's full of smoke, I'll panic. So call me up and tell me a joke when I'm fully irrelevant and totally broken, damn it. Call me up and tell me a joke. Oh shit. You're really joking at a time like this.